in Jesus' name. Almighty God, we thank you for seeing us through 2010. We bless you because you have brought us into 2011. We thank you because you have declared this year as the year of our favor. Lord, let your goodness and your mercy go with us this year in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we pray that your word will do and perform everything you intend for it to do in our lives this year, in the mighty name of Jesus. None of us will be static. None of us will move backwards. None of us will be cast away. And none of us will be set aside in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we will have victory by your word this year in the mighty name of Jesus. Teach us yourself, O Lord, that we may become like your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please, can those outside come in for the Sunday school? Let everybody come in for the Sunday school. Let's look at our bulletin. And I want us to open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. We are going to read verse 1 to 18. And then we will read 29 to 34. And then we are going to read Hebrews 1, 5 to 14. Please, members of the choir, please round up and come in for the Sunday school. Open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. And then we'll read 29 to 34 of the same John. And then Hebrews 1, 5 to 14. So I want somebody to read from John 1, verses 1 to 9. Another person to read 10 to 18. And someone else to read John 1, verse 29 to 34. And I will read Hebrews 1, 5 to 14. So I need three people to read from John. John chapter 1. The first person to read verse 1 to 9. And the next person will read 10 to 18.
John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' For his abundance we have all received, one gracious blessing after the other. For the law was given through Moses, while God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us."
Praise the Lord. Someone to read 29 to 34 of the same John 1.
Takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, "A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I will not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God."
Amen. And I'm going to read again from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 to 14. It says, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angel he said, "Who maketh his angels spirits and his maid? Righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Praise the Lord. We are looking at God the Son. Last week we looked at God the Father. This week we look at God the Son. It's going to be in the four or five parts. So this is the first of them. God the Son. We need to go back into the basics of our Christianity. Hence, it is important that we remind ourselves how we came to where we are right now. One thing I can assure us is this, is that what you are going to be taught in this place by the grace of God will be equivalent to what you will learn in a Bible school. So please, I want us to be attentive. Not only that, I want us to keep record of these things and meditate over them and research them and study more about the things we are going to learn here. Like I said last week, we look at Jehovah, that is God the Father, as part of the Godhead that exists as a triune, the Holy Trinity. So we saw how God introduced himself to individuals who drew close to him. In Isaiah, he introduced himself. In Exodus 3:14, he introduced himself to Moses and said, "I am that I am." That is God, who can be all in all in whatever situation you are, because he is who he is. He can be the solution to that particular situation for you. We also saw some of his attributes, including his ability to will. In other words, God does not only think of things, he has willpower to make things happen. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, the Bible says he works everything according to the counsel of his will. So God has a will, and he brings his will to pass. The will of God will come to pass in your life in Jesus' name. No one, no spirit, no demon will be able to change or shortchange your destiny in Jesus' name. God has not only got will, God is able to back it up with performance. Because the Bible says, like I told you, he works everything according to the counsel of his will. In other words, he makes everything to happen as he wants it to happen. So there is no point struggling against God. All we need to do is plunge ourselves into his will, and it will be well with us in Jesus' name. I said this year is going to be well with you in Jesus' name. So he can back up his will with performance. He also has the ability to feel, including loving you and I. And he has ability to exercise the function of the senses. In other words, God can see, he can hear. He will hear your prayer this morning in Jesus' name. He will hear your prayer this year in the name of Jesus. He also has the ability to exercise the, you know, like I said, the function of the senses. And he says, his hands are not too short to deliver, nor has his ears waxed thick that he cannot hear you. What normally separates us from God answering our prayer is unrighteousness. My prayer for you today is this, that God will kill every seed of unrighteousness in you in Jesus' name. This year, the Lord will be your friend. I say God will be your friend this year in Jesus' name. That is Isaiah 59 verse 1. We saw that he is one and the same with his Son, the Holy Spirit, and all of them, they are the same as the Word of God. That is why the Word of God has power. God will just choose to reveal himself in any form he wants. He can choose to speak to you as God the Father, the Son, or as his Spirit, and reveal himself to you as his Word. Today you will catch a revelation of him in Jesus' name. So we'll quickly look at God the Son. I'm sure many of us have asked ourselves questions in regards to Jesus the Christ. You see, I try not to call him Jesus Christ. I try to call him Jesus the Christ, because I'm sure you know there are many people who are called Jesus all over the place. People of Portuguese background, Spain and all those places, there are people today who are called Jesus. But there is only one Jesus, the Christ. He is the appointed one, the anointed one, that has been sent to take away the sin of the world. There is no one like him. So, I like to talk about Jesus the Christ. So, you have asked yourself questions about Jesus the Christ. And one of the things you ask yourself is this. When did God give birth to him? We call him the Son of God. When did God give birth to him? Particularly for the young ones in the house. We need to know that God the Son, that is Jesus the Christ, was not given birth to, nor was he created. He himself has been from the beginning, and he will be forever. Because Jesus, the Bible says Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise the Lord. In fact, he was the creator of everything on earth and in heaven. Let's quickly look at where we read in the book of John, chapter 1. John 1. I will read 1 to 3 and then verse 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In other words, from the beginning he had been with the Father. All things were made by him. And without him was anything made that was made. So nothing was created outside Jesus. He created them all. And verse 14 says, and that word, and the word was made flesh. Let me read it from another version, Amplified version. It says, and the word Christ became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacle, that is, dwelt, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while amongst us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as only an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. That's Jesus. He became flesh. So he wasn't created. He has been from the beginning. In fact, he is the creator of everything. Praise the Lord. You will realize that last week we also said that by the Word was everything created. So Jesus is the Word. Praise God. He was in glory in heaven before he became flesh and dwells among men. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 8. Now, it's important that we know that Jesus was in glory, even in heaven. Why? Because, like I've told us before, when we come together to praise God, we are not adding anything to God. We are tapping into the blessings of God. In fact, praising and serving him makes our lives better. We are the better for it when we come to serve God. Jesus already had glory. There is no adding to his glory. There's no taking away from his glory. Nothing can reduce or increase his glory. Yet, what did he do? He humbled himself. The Bible said he made himself of no repute. He forgot about his glory and he came down in the form of man, as we have just read. What a glorious God we serve. So, when he came down, he had all the attributes. He had all the attributes of the Godhead. On earth, he was begotten of the Father to demonstrate God's intention. Now, I want us to listen to this very well. Because Jesus was not created, he had always been alive. He came down to earth. He was begotten of the Father, called the Son, as a demonstration of God's intention and his ability to adopt the multitude of us that may want to come to him. Otherwise, when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about God adopting us, it will be like, you know, it will be difficult for us to picture. But God has first of all demonstrated it in Jesus Christ to show us that it is possible that God will accept a man he has created and make that man his own. Hence, you are of God today. Praise the Lord. So Jesus served as an example of the type of relationship that should be existing between us and God the Father. If you remember many of the things that Jesus said about his relationship with the Father, that is what God expects our relationship with him to be. He said, "I walk the walk of my Father while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk." So he expects us to walk the walk of the Father too. And I've told us that our daytime is the time we are alive. Praise the Lord. He said, "I and my Father are one." In other words, we should be of the same mind with God. Praise the Lord. And in Philippians, where we can read, he said, "Let this mind be in you as was in Jesus Christ." So the same mind God expected to be in us. The humility Jesus demonstrated, God expects us to demonstrate it. The loving kindness that God demonstrated in Jesus, God expects us to also demonstrate it. So he brought Jesus as our an example. What makes us to decide we want to buy a particular thing? It's often the example that is displayed, isn't it? When we go to the shop, we look at the sample. If it looks good, we'll buy it. But if we have nothing to compare it with, it's often very difficult. We are not able to make up our mind. So Jesus is the example of the life we can have in God. And that will be your life in Jesus' name. So why did Jesus have to come in the flesh? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Because God could simply have wiped away our sins, isn't it? Without Jesus coming. Why did Jesus have to come in the flesh? He could easily have wiped away our sins. This morning, we will see why he had to come in the flesh. The truth is that God placed a curse on man after his fall in the Garden of Eden. Can somebody quickly open Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? Somebody open Genesis 3, verse 15 and read. Okay. Who was God speaking to there? To Satan. He was speaking to Satan. And he said, "I will put enmity between you," between Satan and the seed of the woman. And God said, "The seed of the woman will bruise the head of Satan, and Satan will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman." Praise the Lord. For the seed of the woman to overcome, he has to be able to bruise the head of Satan. If somebody hit you on the leg, and the person who hit you on the head, which one will come out worse? The one who is hit on the head. So man needed to be able to defeat Satan. And to defeat Satan has to come from who? From man. God did not say, "I'm coming to defeat Satan for you." He said, man will have to defeat Satan. Subsequently, because God had placed curse on man, and man lost his dominion, lost his power, Man on his own could not overcome Satan. Man did not have that ability to bruise the head of Satan and defeat him. So, God in his love had to find a solution. Because remember that the person to defeat Satan has to be the son of the woman. Not the son of the man, the son of the woman, the seed of the woman. He had to find a solution. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Read verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time, he didn't say the fullness of time. When the fullness of the time appointed, I want to tell you that your time has come today in Jesus' name. Your time of progress has come from today in Jesus' name. When the fullness of the time has come, yes? God sent forth his son made of a woman. Was it made of a man? Made of a woman. The promise was that the seed of the woman was going to bruise the head of Satan. Yes? Made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. That we, all of us, might receive what? The adoption of sons. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus had to come in the flesh. Because God did not say the spirit was going to defeat Satan. It has to be the seed of the woman. So God had to make the seed of the woman. That's why Joseph was not required. Joseph was not required in what God had to do in order to save mankind. Praise the Lord. In case somebody starts to ask you, that is why Jesus had to come in the flesh, because God has said it, that he wanted to give victory to man. And he has to find a way to give victory to man. God will give you victory this year in Jesus' name. So he came. And then, of course, we have our victory. Remember that before Jesus came, many things have been tried. You know that? Many things have been tried without success. The blood of calves, the blood of animals, all sort of things. Can somebody open to Hebrews chapter 9? Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 15. Can somebody please open to that, please? Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. Christ being born of as high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this building, not of the blood of goats and calves, by his own blood, he entered in, into where? Into the Holy of Holies, to make an amend, to restore us back to God. Because from year to year, the people of Israel have been sacrificing bulls, calves, all sorts of things to God. But the blood of those things were not able to do the work of restoration. Remember, it has to be by the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So it took a man, and it has to be a blood without blemish. If you look at, I put it there, it has to be a blood without blemish. Remember that the curse that was pronounced on Adam has gone on every man that was born. So, as the psalmist said, he said, I was conceived and given birth to in iniquity. So in other words, there was no pure blood that will do the work except the blood of Jesus. Yet, it has to be the seed of the woman. You can see the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. That was why Jesus had to come in the flesh. And blood, it has to be blood. Not only has it got to be blood, the blood has to be given willingly. I've told us before. That is why God requires our willingness to serve Him. Did somebody hear that? God requires our willingness to serve Him. And the Bible says, He said, God loves a cheerful giver. And that when you give, do not give grudgingly. Give as you are purposed in your heart. In other words, when you serve God willingly as you are purposed in your heart. Serve Him without holding back. The reason being this, like I told us, if all that God wanted from Jesus was the blood of Jesus, Jesus could have died the day He was born. Right? And they would still have shed His blood. You remember that His parents took Him and ran to Egypt, tried to save Him from Herod. Right? Until He became of maturity and laid down His life. So there has to be a willingness to serve the Lord. And as you serve the Lord willingly, the mighty hand of God will be upon your life from today in Jesus' name. So Jesus came in the flesh with all the attributes and oftentimes the limitations of man. Helpless situations to achieve a perfect solution to man's problem of sin. Because He has to be the seed of the woman. So He came like a man with limitations. You remember that Jesus, during His earthly time, one of the limitations is that He will be in one place at a time. Remember, He was three days' journey away from where Lazarus died. So He could not be there. He was prone to the limitations of man at that time too. Remember when He was to die in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was so tormented. He prayed to the point that blood was almost streaming from His face. And He said, "Father, if only You can allow this cup to pass, but not My will, but Thy will be done." The will of God will be done in your life in Jesus' name. So Jesus came with all those attributes and laid down His life. Because the Bible has already said every soul that dies, that sin must die. Because God is so true to His word. Every soul that sin must die. So Jesus had to die for every soul, because all souls have sinned, to redeem us. His redemptive power will work in your life in Jesus' name. Lastly, some of the questions we are trying to answer, some of the questions in relation to God the Son. And I've told us that by the grace of God, some of the things you are going to learn here, they will be as good as the things you will learn in any Bible college. Praise God. And the next question for us to answer is this. I say, when did God realize that man needed salvation? Remember, we are still talking about God the Son. And I said there will be about 4 or 5 parts to it. And we are looking at the first part. So when did God realize that man needed salvation? When did God realize that man needed salvation? Was it after man fell? Did God suddenly realize after man had fallen? No, God didn't just suddenly realize. He had known all along. Praise the Lord. And there is a reason why man will fall. We'll talk about that in this particular part. So I want us to be well aware that nothing happened to man that God had not known and also provided a remedy for, because the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. You know, all that we saw on the cross of Calvary was a physical manifestation of what God had already done before the foundation of the world. Praise God. In the same vein, God has a solution to all the circumstances we will ever encounter in this world. Because the solution was provided for when the lamb was slain. Praise the Lord. The solution was provided for when the lamb was slain. When was the lamb slain? When? Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God had been slain. And I want this to provide succor to each and every one of us, knowing fully well that heaven is already prepared for your personal and individual journey through this earth. It is therefore misplaced fears when we think that God has forgotten us in the depth of our despair or our often temporary troubles and problems. So, irrespective of what you may be going through right now, have you thought about it that God has already thought of you and your circumstance, and that heaven has provided a solution for you? One thing I want you to know is that the day the lamb was slain was not the day the lamb was manifested. Through prayer and serving God this year, that victory that Jesus has wrought for you will be made manifest in Jesus' name. I said your victory will be made manifest this year in Jesus' name. Your prosperity will be made manifest this year in Jesus' name. Your ability to live over sin will be made manifest this year in Jesus' name. Your peace and your joy will be made manifest this year in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember that this year is your year of favor. Did somebody hear that? I said this year is your year of favor in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Just a biblical verse to back up what I've told you, to let you know that God had already thought of you. According as he has chosen us in him. When? So, which means at the time that the lamb was being slain, some people are being chosen. Thank God you are one of them. I say, thank God you are one of them. That is why this is your year of victory in Jesus' name. Has anyone got any question to ask? It's a Sunday school. By the grace of God, this is where we are being fed. If you have any question you want to ask, maybe you are in doubt about something, please ask me now. Because when I preach, you cannot ask me questions. But when we talk Sunday school, because it's a school where God is building you up, you have the opportunity to ask questions. Please ask questions. Maybe there are some things in your mind and you've been wondering. You can see this is an attempt to answer some of our questions. For example, when did God give birth to Jesus? Why did Jesus have to come in the flesh? When did God realize that man needed salvation? All those things, they are answered here. If you have any other question in relation to Jesus, you may ask. Okay, praise the Lord. Please, let's rise up on our feet. Remember, one of the last things we learned this morning is that God already has you in his plan before the foundation of the world. That is why I want you to begin to rejoice today, and I want you to just thank God and say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for thinking of me even before the foundation of the world. Oh, he said to Jeremiah, He said, while you are in your mother's womb, I had known you and I had appointed you. And God is saying to somebody here that he has appointed you even before the foundation of the world was laid, that he has you in mind, irrespective of what you are carried over from 2010 to this year, that God has you in the hollow of his hand. He will see to your victory. He will see to your victory this year. I want you to just begin to thank God and say, Father, I thank you. I've heard from your word. Your own is to believe. Your own is to hold on to the word of God, because it has come out this morning. Hold on to that word and you will see it made manifest in your life. Just hold on to the word of God this morning. The Lord is set to bless you. The Lord is set to lift you on high this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for victory in the life of everyone that is here this morning. Thank you for your glory made manifest in this place this morning. Therefore, no one that has come today and heard this word will be the same again in Jesus' name. Because Jesus obtained victory, you obtained victory in your life today in Jesus' name. Every area of depression in you, every area of despair in you, every area of hopelessness in you, I turn it to your success. Your joy will come this morning. I say your joy has come this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious and mighty name, we are prayed.